This is Taking Aim with
Rob Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, August 23rd, 2005. When armed police surrounded the home of Mukhtar Saeed Ibrahim in London's North Kensington earlier this month and ordered him outside, the 27-year-old had only one question. How do I know you're not going to shoot me like that guy at Stockwell Tube Station? Mukhtar had every right to be nervous, wrote Tony Thompson and Tom Phillips in the London Observer, Sunday, August 14th, in their article, Death in Stockwell, The Unanswered Questions. Today on Taking Aim, the London bombings, the Menensis execution, prelude to the death squad state. And prelude it is, as was revealed in the Observer article, August 14th, and 2 days later with the leak from the Independent Police Complaints Commission, IPCC, that was televised on ITV News on August 16th, it showed that the statements from the police and all the highest members of the London, of the British government, the statements that they were making were a total fabrication. The Menzies had been deliberately targeted for state execution. Ralph?
The Sunday Herald on the 21st of August, an innocent man shot dead on the London Tube by police. Since then, everything we've been told has been wrong. The cover-up and why. The article states, Brazil's Deputy Attorney General and a senior official from Brazil's Ministry of Justice will tomorrow morning hold discussions in London with members of the Independent Police Complaints Commission, the Metropolitan Police, and senior officials from the Foreign Office. Despite diplomatic manners, a Foreign Office source acknowledged that this will be a very uncomfortable gathering. It could be indeed most uncomfortable, states the Sunday Herald. Behind the public contrition lies a web of contradictory statements, deviation from nominal procedures, a mist of confusion that led to serial calls for the resignation of Metropolitan Police Head Sir Ian Blair. And throughout 4 weeks of calls for clarity, the odor of a police and government cover-up that has refused to retreat in its intensity.
You have to recall that in the immediate aftermath of de Menezes' killing on July 22nd, the media reports that had been based upon the official fiction presented by the police and supposedly backed by eyewitnesses claimed that the young Brazilian had been seen leaving the home of a suspected terrorist, one involved in the July 21st bombings that didn't actually take place in the London subways, and that he had been seen leaving this home of Hussein Osman wearing a bulky overcoat on a hot day. When challenged by police at the Stockwell subway station, he had attempted to run, jumping a ticket barrier, was overpowered and shot multiple times in the head in order to prevent the possible detonation of a bomb. Statements and photographs later revealed, and these are statements from the eyewitnesses, that all this was fabrication. In fact, at first, the police said that the closed-circuit TVs had not been operational. Yet, images were produced for the Independent Police Complaints Commission. In fact, the police and Sir Ian Blair himself, head of the Metropolitan Police, had not wanted this commission to conduct an investigation. They said that there were secrets that might be revealed and should not be made available to the public. What these secrets were was the fact that British military, the covert operative wing of British military, the SSR, was integrated into the operation of the Metropolitan Police and active, and that perhaps the murder of de Menezes himself was conducted not by the special SO19, the killer squads, the new killer squads of the Metropolitan Police, but by the British military. Ralph?
The Sunday Herald states the two Brazilian officials, Wagner Gonçalves and Marcio Pereira Pinto Garcia, will be seeking assurances that every detail of the death of Jean-Charles de Meneses will be investigated and that they will be kept informed. On that basic request, the Sunday Herald states the two Brazilians will be disappointed. The IPCC has already made clear that the Brazilians will be told nothing, no more than any lawyer from the de Menes family, and that has been very little. The two Brazilians will leave the meeting with the realization that they will have to be patient in their desire to know the facts. It could be years, 2 years and more, before the IPCC releases any findings. And then that report will be sent to the official coroner, and then it will be examined by lawyers at the Crown Prosecution Service. A formal inquest will take place, and if any prosecution of officers involved will occur, that would take precedence over the report's publication. The Home Secretary, furthermore, if he thinks that any part of the IPCC's report would compromise what that would be called national security, i.e. the revelation of the death squad intentions of this operation, they can edit the version and keep the key elements confidential. That is a lengthy period for the climate of cover-up to endure, and Sir Ian Blair knows it, reveals the Sunday Herald.
Let's look at the Special Forces Regiment. It only became operational this April. The Special Reconnaissance Regiment, SRR, is the first Special Forces unit to be created in the United Kingdom since the end of the Second World War. Now, there are covert operations units in Great Britain, and MI6 and MI5 both have their special units. But the SRR is now public as a killer squad. It's based in Hereford. It's personnel selected and trained by the SAS, the Green Berets, so to speak, of the British government. Jeff Hoon, then Defense Secretary, announced on April 5th in a written answer to the House of Commons that, quote, the pursuit of international terrorists would be SRR's priority. The involvement of SRR, states the Sunday Herald, in the operation on July 22nd was not confined to just one soldier at Scotia Road. Scotia Road is the address in Tulse Hill from which Meneses had exited and supposedly where Hussein Osman had lived. It's a 9-unit apartment complex with one common entry and exit. And the police said that there had been one member of SRR who had been involved in surveillance. Not so, according to Jeff Hoon. According to security sources, SRR personnel were involved in the tailing operation that saw de Meneses leave the block of flats, board a bus, enter the tube station at Stockwell, and SRR personnel are also believed and for sure, say these security sources, to have been on the train when he was shot, and they believe that it is the SRR personnel that actually performed the execution.
Well, Maya, the Independent on the 21st of August poses the key question, because the rationale for this death squad operation was that a suicide bomber in the process of detonating a weapon or a bomb had to be shot dead before he could accomplish this. Here's what the Independent states in its headline. If he was a suicide bomber, why was he allowed to board the train? Headline. Plainclothes officers, including Army surveillance experts, tracked Mr. de Meneses as he left his block of flats, as he walked, as he got on a bus. Officer codenamed Hotel One heard on police radio that the electrician had got off his bus at Brixton at 9:47, that he reboarded the bus at 9:49, the officer's account states. His description and demeanor was assessed. The officer stated he has Mongolian eyes. The electrician was followed to the station by surveillance officers. The account of the officer codenamed Hotel 3 states the Independent is crucial. He admits being instructed to allow Mr. de Meneses to enter the underground station and then to follow him. That is the key element that is disclosed here by the Independent. this man was set up. They had absolutely no intention of apprehending anybody. They had no concerns about a so-called suicide bomber. Obviously, as the headline states, if he was a suicide bomber, why was he allowed to board the train? Why, the newspaper asks, was Mr. de Meneses not intercepted, allowed the chance to surrender? And other police disclosures add to these concerns. Quote, the current strategy around his address was as follows. No subject coming out of that address would be allowed to run, and an interception should take place as soon as possible. That is what the nominal instruction was, and the opposite was done. The man was set up. Gold Command made the decision. Now, Gold Command is the special forces operation of the SAS, and they are essentially assassination units. In fact, Assistant Commissioner Alan Brown, known as Gold Command, and Commander Cressida Dick, the Met's most senior woman officer and the officer in operational command, gave the orders. They made the decision. They gave the instructions. So, in fact, the opposite of what they represented was in fact, their policy. They allowed the man to continue. They were, with every intention, seeking to have him gain access to the underground where he could be executed. And the observer on the 21st of August, Sunday, the police knew Brazilian was not a bomb risk. That is the headline of the London Observer. Senior sources in the Metropolitan Police have told the Observer that members of the surveillance team who followed the de Meneses into Stockwell Underground Station knew he was not going to detonate a bomb, knew he was not armed, knew he was not acting suspiciously, and only when they were joined by their armed officers did they undertake to shoot him seven times in the head. This is the London Observer on the 21st of August. There is no ambiguity about this. This was a state operation. The man was targeted for assassination execution. He was an object lesson. He was eliminated as a matter of policy.
Ralph, in the code that was sent by the surveillance person, the first surveillance person who spotted de Meneses, who was actually leaving his own apartment where he lived with two of his cousins, Victoria and Patricia, and he was on his way to a job. He made a cell phone call to a friend to say that he was going to be late. And that friend, by the way, De Avila, was also interviewed by the police, who found his cell phone number on de Meneses' cell phone when they picked it up in the subway after they executed him. And the code that was sent was specifically ICI. And that code means that Meneses was a white Northern European. White Northern European, yet over the phone, the police said he had Mongolian eyes and should be tracked. What they were looking for and what they had on the footage of Osman, Hussein Osman, who had been arrested in Rome and scheduled for deportation, showed an Asian North African male, certainly not a white Northern European. And if they had this information about Osman and they had de Meneses leaving, there is no reason that they should be tracking de Meneses. They later went and stormed the apartment complex and found absolutely nothing. But they created here a fabricated story, and the fabrication went on for some time. It was only through the revelations of the Observer, and then a couple days later, the actual footage being released by somebody in the commission to ITV, that the truth was able to come out. As a security agency source, another agency source told the Herald, quote, this takeout is the signature of a special forces operation. We know members of SO19, that's the police, the Special Operation Kratos Police Killer Squad, and they have been receiving training from SAS. But even so, this has special forces written all over it, end quote.
Yes, Maya, and in the London Observer on the prior week, August 14th, the revelations begin to unfold. He wasn't wearing a heavy jacket. He used the card to get into the station. He did not vault the barrier. There are no CCTV pictures to reveal the truth, the Observer states. Why did these officers shoot young Shaw, John Shaw, the menace seven times in the head, and claim that he posed a terrorist threat, they ask.
Ralph, while on the 14th, the Observer said, as we reported, that the police had said there were no CCTV photos. In fact, there were these photos that ITV later put on TV. And the photo you can see on the internet of Demence's dead body. He was shot point blank in the back of the head.
Well, that is the entire point, that the Observer is disclosing that the authorities are claiming there were no CCTV photographs, and the ITV published photographs were the result of a leak, an insider who leaked the photographs that were not supposed to exist. And in fact, the leak of those photographs has exposed the entire fraudulence, not just of the rationale for the execution, but it has exposed the fraudulence of the attempts to pretend that this was not a preordained and pre-planned operation, which had as its objective the introduction of a climate of terror. This is state terror. The government lies are exposed over the Domenici's murder, states the Socialist World Socialist website in its interesting analysis of August 17th. The documents and photographs that were leaked to ITV News demonstrate that the entire story deployed by the police, the media, and the government to rationalize and excuse the murder of the young Brazilian Jean-Charles de Meneses in London was a lie on every important detail. What the public has been told was a fabrication. Rather than the accidental victim of an anti-terror operation, he was deliberately targeted for state execution, and the aim of the operation was to send an unmistakable message to the British public that democratic rights count for nothing. And this message was made explicit by Prime Minister Tony Blair, who declared immediately afterwards, "The rules of the game have changed. The rules of the game have changed." In the immediate aftermath of this murder on July 22nd, the presumptive official documented reports backed by eyewitnesses representing that the Brazilian had been leaving the home of a suspected terrorist, that he was wearing a bulky overcoat on a hot day, that when challenged by the police, he ran and he jumped a ticket barrier before being overpowered. Every single aspect of this was a pre-planned fabrication for an operation that had been prearranged. He had, of course, not leapt over any ticket barrier to the underground. He did not run from the police. He was completely unaware that he was followed. He picked up a free newspaper as he slowly descended the elevator to the platform. He did not trip or stumble or make any attempts to evade arrest. He boarded the train, and he was seated. This is critical. He was seated when he was shot through the head. This revelation is of particular importance because the authorities continue with one aspect of their fabrication, that he got up and started walking towards these plainclothes armed killer squads as if he were approaching them. That is an utter lie, as the document here discloses. He was seated when he was shot through the head. And as we learn, first they say there were five shots, then they say there were seven shots, then they say there were eight shots. Now we know there were 11 shots. They were in such a frenzy to kill this man, they pumped seven bullets into the back of his head. One hit the shoulder, and three missed him entirely. An absolute orgy of execution violence.
Ralph, soon after the execution, The police contacted Jessio de Avila, who is de Menezes, Jean-Charles de Menezes' close friend and also co-worker. They contacted him, he said, because my number had been on his phone. About an hour later, a balding detective inspector and a uniformed woman police officer arrived at de Avila's flat in Dulles Hill, North London. Over the next 2 hours, they questioned de Avila on everything he knew about de Menezes. Now, this is reported in the Times Online, August 21st, in an important article called Focus, Executed, Anatomy of a Police Killing. The detective, according to de Avila, wouldn't tell me what had happened, said, but he said, quote, "We suspect this person is a terrorist suspect." Now, this is early the next morning, basically in the middle of the night, and by that time they knew beforehand that de Menezes certainly was not a terrorist suspect. He hadn't done anything that fit in with even their own standard operating procedure of how you would detect a so-called terrorist. "I told him," Avila said, "it's not true, and I just don't believe that. I know him. We have a social life together. He doesn't come from even Muslim people," as if being from Muslim people would make you a terrorist. "He was a Catholic." At the end, he showed me some pictures of de Menezes. He said, "Are you sure this is the person we're talking about?" I told him I was. He then told me, "Well, then, maybe this person is dead." Ralph?
Well, Maya, the ITV news shows the photographs of de Menezes lying on the floor with blood on the seat and the 7 shots to the head. And here we have a key element of this. This decision was taken at the highest level of authority. This decision was taken at the highest level of authority, these documents reveal. Quote, "Gold Command made the decision and gave the appropriate instructions. Gold Command, based at Metropolitan Police Headquarters, is the secretive body charged with the go-ahead for shoot-to-kill operations under Operation Kratos. Operation Kratos is a death squad operation. They were trained by the Israelis in what is called LEEP, L-E-E-P. The documents, quote, "the commanding officer of CO-19 of stating, 'You will be required to use unusual tactics today. You are required,' he said, 'to intercept this subject, and if there is any opportunity, a critical shot may be taken.'" Listen to those instructions. "This man was set up and targeted with a deliberate policy of executing him before any indication at all that there was any reason to suspect him of anything." And as the analysis in the World Socialist website points out, de Menezes was never given a chance to comply with any police order. Right up to the moment he was killed, he had no idea of what was about to happen to him. Contrary to all the statements, no attempts were made to stop him when he left his flat, none when he boarded a bus to the train station, even though he is being said to have been a potential terrorist. But in fact, as the commentary observes, political guilt for this crime rests squarely with the Blair government. Not only did the government covertly establish the guidelines that allowed the police to act as judge, jury, and executioner, they justified the de Menezes killing, they unconditionally defend the police operation, and they have endorsed a version of events that is now exposed as a pack of lies, and they do this with total impunity because no one within the political establishment or the media has challenged them formally. In fact, not a single Labour or opposition member of Parliament was prepared to speak out. All 3 parties have supported the police operations, and moreover, the martial law conditions that are now being imposed on Great Britain, which we will describe in a moment. There were 72 votes of Labour, 70 votes of the Conservatives, 74 votes of Liberal Democrats. All the 3 parties are united in this. The only figure who has spoken out in opposition is George Galloway, who is not a part of Labour anymore, having been expelled. George Galloway, who was himself targeted both in the United States and Great Britain for his opposition to the war in Iraq and his exposure of its dynamics. But all of the officials of the major parties in Great Britain are in lockstep, not just over the lies pertaining to this operation, but for the preparation of the martial law state. a key in the abrogation of democratic rights, where these death squads are, which are normally associated with U.S. operations in Latin America and the British occupation of Northern Ireland, are to be used on an ongoing basis in the streets of London. This government has allowed itself unprecedented powers not only to execute, but to deport and exclude any foreign national or naturalized British citizen, and to extend the use of house arrest against British citizens. It would allow the banning of organizations and publications on the vaguest pretext that they condone or encourage terrorism. It will respond to any legal challenge to these proposals by abrogating the Human Rights Act in Great Britain. That is the real underlying dynamic of the execution of Jean-Charles de Menezes.
Ralph, further in our program, we're going to speak in great detail about the abrogation of civil liberties that is deepening in Great Britain. First, I'd like to mention more about the lies surrounding the de Menezes execution, because they continued. They continued on and on 5 days later, even though within hours they knew that they had killed an innocent man and that he had been targeted, and they even had said so publicly within the first few days. But still, 5 days later, the report by police to the pathologist who was doing the postmortem, 5 days after de Menezes was shot, the records of that postmortem show that the police told the coroner that de Menezes had, quote, vaulted over the ticket barriers, ran down the stairs onto the tube station. What's important about this is that the pathologist, in looking at the body, and the coroner making his report, have to know how, in what positions the body was found and what were the circumstances of the death. We have here the official lie being perpetuated by the police 5 days afterwards, in addition to the cover-up story that the SO19 and the surveillance team are continuing with the de Menezes having gotten up and walked towards the door after he was seated. This is all very important because the official fiction that surrounds it is creating a mood of terror in Great Britain. Operation Kratos, named after a Spartan hero, it was designed by the Metropolitan Police to establish their elite SO-19 firearms unit called the Blue Berets, and it's equivalent to the U.S. SWAT teams, yet the SO-19 often do not wear any uniforms. They are marksmen. They go around in regular clothes, in a disguise, so you can't tell who they are, and yet they are snipers. They are patterned on the Israeli security forces. They have been trained by the Israelis. A quote, during the Kratos briefings, the Met team were told that contrary to their past decisions where they shouldn't fire at the head, that they should now fire at the head rather than the chest. And this has become the standard operating procedure, and that's why de Menezes was shot with the bullets in the back of his head. The Israeli counterparts, the Israeli National Police, the Shin Bet, and the Israeli Ministry of Internal Security have been active in training the British police as they have been active training the American police with the LEAP program sponsored by none other than JINSA.
Maya, here is the real context in the Associated Press story Sunday, August 21st, the London police deflect the criticism of the slaying, Mara Di Bellamy's story. London's police chief stated he will ensure that Britain's anti-terror investigators are not affected by criticisms about the killing of an innocent man. Indeed, London's police are now being fiercely criticized after the revelations that armed officers executed Jean-Charles de Menezes, a 27-year-old Brazilian wrongly suspected of being a suicide bomber. We have to concentrate on how we find the people who are helping or thinking about planning further atrocities, Sir Ian Blair told Sunday's News of the World. We will make sure that anti-terror investigators are not in any way affected by these criticisms. I have told them, this is not your problem. For myself, it's a job I have to do, but we will not be distracted from our main job, which is eliminating the terrorists.
We will return in a moment after this brief station ID.
You're tuned to Hi-Fi, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial, New York.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. We return to our program, the London bombings, the Manassas execution, prelude to the death squad state. Ralph?
The London Times on August 21st. The police will boycott leak investigation. The row, imagine, it's a row, over the shooting of an innocent Brazilian man grew yesterday after Scotland Yard sources claimed that the police will boycott the independent watchdog investigating the incident. Senior police sources claim that the Independent Police Complaints Commission has failed to persuade a single force to help any watchdog or discovery of the actual events pertaining to this incident. The leaked files reveal a series of fatal errors in the shooting of de Meneses by undercover firearms officers. This is a devastating exposure that the death squad state apparatus has the most ultimate contempt for any passing inquiry into the expose of their predetermined operation. And this flows from what you were indicating, Maya, about the Israeli experts instructing the London police on terrorism and training programs involving policy shifts, as the Washington Post disclosed on Sunday, June 12th, 2005. Indeed, the leap or the exchange of instruction on the conduct of death squad operations was detailed by the Jewish Institute of National Security Affairs, JINSA, in disclosing, quote, Israel is the Harvard of anti-terrorism. This was the statement of the U.S. Capitol Police Chief Terrence W. Gaynor. No experience in my life had more of an impact on doing my job than going to Israel, said D.C. Police Commander Kathy Lanier, who heads the District Special Operations Division and oversees the emergency response team. What are these instructions? And this is now not just pertaining to London. This operation of Kratos was prepared by the Israeli Mossad and its special execution forces, not only with respect to the London police and the London special teams, but in the United States as well. Gaynor retained his officers to shoot potential bombers in the head rather than aim for the chest, as they were originally taught. Ralph Morton, Los Angeles police detective on the bomb squad and the Joint Terrorism Task Force, has conducted 1,000 training sessions for 25,000 police, fire, and military personnel based on instruction in Israel. The Israeli trips were organized by the Research Forum, a Washington-based organization that works with police nationwide. 40 senior law enforcement officials have been directed to Israel, including Los Angeles as the assistant police chief, the security chief of New York's Metropolitan Transit Authority, the police chiefs of Gaithersburg and Prince William County, and it goes into considerable detail about the application in Great Britain and the United States of a death squad apparatus that will act with impunity in Great Britain as in the United States.
Ralph, the commander of the Israeli bomb disposal unit and a former member of the Mossad, Israel's Central Intelligence Agency, has briefed more than 425 top federal and local law enforcement officials from New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania at a conference that was held at Princeton, New Jersey. He's also been to Chicago. There have been conferences in Minnesota, in California, in Florida. And JINSA, on its website on June 24th, 2005, proudly displayed the Washington Post article that you mentioned of June 12th and discussed its involvement. JINSA's 2004-2005 LEAP program, that's Law Enforcement Exchange Program, paid for many of these initiatives, conferences, and meetings. And Larry Thompson, Michael Mason, Kathy Lanier, and Sterling Owen, who are quoted in the article, are graduates of the LEAP trips to Israel, the night patrols, the meetings that took place in Israel, the, as I said, the subsidizing of this program is all by JINSA, and the conferences are all part of the LEAP program, too.
Let's look at the immediate meaning of this in Great Britain. Quote, The Guardian on August 17th, Asian men targeted. Counterterrorism operations have increased sevenfold since the London attacks on July 7th. Asian people are bearing the brunt of the increase, The Guardian has learned. People of Asian appearance are five times more likely to be stopped than white people. This is a quote from The Guardian. None of the stops have resulted in terrorism charges. In fact, charges are not part of the operation. The statistics from the first demonstrate that the police now target Asians in particular. Unpublished figures from July 7th to August 10th show that the transport police carried out 6,747 of these operations in London alone. They forced 2,390 stops of Asian people by units that had the authority to shoot to kill.
Now, by Asian, we have to say they mean Pakistanis and Indians. And this lends support to the police statement that de Meneses had a, quote, Mongolian appearance.
Yes, the armed response units, or the ARVs, and the special firearms officers, the SFOs, are part of what is called SO-19. The armed response vehicles are part of their apparatus. This is in something called Operation X, and Operation X involves the unfolding of death squads that will be not just entitled, but instructed to carry out on-the-spot executions. This is not a fantasy. This is the daily reality, and this indeed is elucidated again by the World Socialist website. London bombings trigger massive assault on democratic rights. The July 7th bombings in London, the failed bombings attempts of July 21st, have been deployed by the Blair government to implement an unprecedented assault on democratic rights. The country that prided itself on a tradition of unarmed policing has become one in which armed police units may act with impunity. A brief note from the police has made very clear that this is going to be a standard policy. Armed raids are being conducted throughout the capital, in parts of the south of Great Britain, in the West Midlands, the largest operation since the Second World War. Indeed, The Guardian reported that soldiers from the SSS are present to offer guidance to the police. The squadron is ready for deployment at 3 hours' notice anywhere in the country. Anyone who is suspected in any way of being associated with terrorists may be subjected to this. There has been no let-up in these operations. London faces a lockdown, the Times of London reported approvingly. Thousands of police with machine guns are patrolling the capital streets and subway network. This huge police deployment has been accompanied by the revival of the SUS laws, which target black and Asian males.
That is stop and search.
Yes, the stop and search. But indeed, there ain't no stop and there ain't no search. There is nothing but the preparation for execution. And the role of the Civil Contingencies Committee, otherwise known as COBRA, in the events of this past month are very clear. This shadowy body, nicknamed COBRA, has the power to suspend civil liberties and to impose martial law through the Civil Contingencies Act, which came into effect, dubbed Britain's version of the Patriot Act. It allows the government to declare a state of emergency without a parliamentary vote, to introduce unlimited emergency regulations under the royal prerogative without recourse to Parliament. It permits the Defense Council, which is a body composed of ministers and senior officials and military top brass, to deploy the armed services throughout Great Britain without prior parliamentary debate or approval. Indeed, the civil liberties organization State Watch warned, this act allows the government unlimited discretion. It allows them, in normal times, to deploy powers that represent nothing more and nothing less than martial law. This new normality will see cities and entire towns subject to exceptional laws and controls in the same way that emergency laws were put into place in Northern Ireland for over 30 years. The Observer reported that initial discussions between the police and COBRA covered whether to summon the 7,000-strong civil contingencies reaction force into the streets of London. Indeed, the martial law state is already on hand.
Ralph, the Civil Contingencies Act was passed in July 2001. This is prior to the events of 9/11. They were already anticipating what was going to take place. The head of the Civil Contingencies Secretariat is Bruce Mann. He previously was with the Ministry of Defense as Director General of Financial Management, and he had been seconded to NATO headquarters for the Kosovo, the attacks on the Balkans, and he's been part of the Ministry of Defense resources and plans, and very integral to the British security apparatus. The Civil Contingency Secretariat reports to the ministers through the Security and Intelligence Coordinator and the Permanent Cabinet. And then eventually it answers to the Secretariat in Parliament. But as you mentioned, it has very independent operations. It is structured similar to FEMA in the United States, with broad rules. And what's different is that the Civil Contingency Secretariat can, on its own, bypass Parliament and create situations of virtual martial law in areas and even in the entire countries on the notion that there is a threat to security. You can read the entire Civil Contingencies Act as it was amended in 2004 on the internet at www.opsi.gov.uk and look for the Civil Contingencies Act of 2004, which is an amendment of the Act of the Secretariat Act, which was first established in 2001. As the London Times on July 30th stated with its headlines and articles, quote, "Living with terror, Britain must accept that the abnormal will become normal."
Maya, the Observer reported that discussions between the police and COBRA are well advanced. Prime Minister Tony Blair chaired the COBRA meeting of July 21st involving senior ministers, police, and intelligence chiefs, and they have apparently agreed to invoke the act, that is to say, to set the stage for military operations throughout Britain. In its editorial of July 30th, the London Times stated, "Living with terror, Britain must accept that the abnormal will now become normal, a sweeping abrogation of civil liberties without any restraint." Now, what's instructive about this is that none of the measures that are now being implemented in Britain were even considered during the Troubles in Northern Ireland. Now, consider this. In 1979, the Chief of the Defense Staff, Lord Mountbatten, was assassinated. In 1979... the shadow North Ireland Secretary, Éire Neave, was assassinated. And there was an attempt to kill almost the entire Conservative government cabinet in the 1984 Brighton bombing. Now, we leave aside the fact that there is every indication these were, in fact, state operations. Leaving aside the false flag nature of these events, which is the defining analysis that we make about the meaning of these events, the point is that in the 1979 operation, even the assassination of the Chief of Defense Staff and the attempts to kill the entire government cabinet in a bombing did not allow the authorities, they could not get away with the imposition of virtual martial law. That is what the terror bombings of London have been deployed to accomplish, and we are now in the presence of this. Indeed, the Guardian reports on August 22nd, "Britons will trade civil liberties for security." 3/4 of the citizens of Great Britain will trade their civil liberties for security. An ICM poll finds the public now backing the anti-terror measures that are being imposed in Great Britain.
Ralph, it's important that bringing up this survey, because the Guardian survey showing 73% of respondents back the trade-off wouldn't have passed prior to the London bombing of July 7th. When there was a survey earlier this year that was done by the BBC about whether the people of Great Britain would accept identification cards, universal identification cards, the 83% said no. And this was to the limited fact of having a nationwide identity card with their picture and probably fingerprints, as we have on California driver's licenses. But now, with the bombings, 73% are willing to back a trade-off. And 62% said they were in favor of the deportation of foreign nationals who spread, quote, radical Islamicist views, even if they were returned to countries which use torture. This is a big change. And as many of the newspapers have noted, none of these changes could have taken place without terror operations. And the Los Angeles Times noted this about George Bush's approval ratings, as well as the passage of the Patriot Act and other abrogations of civil liberties that are taking place in the United States. The Los Angeles Times noted that here in the United States, just as the British press have noted in England, the deepening martial law state couldn't take place without the false flag operations.
That is the purpose of the terror bombings of London. That is the role of the MI6, of the CIA, and of the Mossad in staging these events, as we have been documenting over the past 4 broadcasts with respect to this. Maya, you indicate that the British public had polled 83% in opposition to the ID cards, let alone total abrogation of civil liberties, just before the London bombings. That was a BBC poll in June. Immediately after the London bombings, these very ID cards that were opposed by 83% of the population were backed in Parliament. The ministers won a Commons vote over the BBC reports over the controversial ID cards, a majority of 67 to 31. This is the measure, actually, to be very clear about this, the original majority had been by 67, but they actually passed it with a majority of 61 in the final vote, notwithstanding the fact that the entire public survey indicated opposition within the House of Commons. How did they bring this off apart from the terror bombings? Here's the London Times on August 21st. Police foil gas attack on House of Commons. Scotland Yard has thwarted an Al-Qaeda gas attack aimed at the ministers and members of Parliament. The plot is understood to have been discovered in coded emails and computers seized from terror suspects in Great Britain and Pakistan. Police and MI5 have identified Al-Qaeda cells carrying out extensive search and video-recorded reconnaissance missions in preparation for the attack. Encrypted emails, the discovery of the Commons nerve gas plot has been behind the decision to increase security around Parliament. Increase security around Parliament. They've banned all peaceful demonstrations, all protests, all marches, all meetings within a half mile of Parliament under these new regulations.
Ralph, this was reported August 8th in The Guardian. 6 arrested for defying protest ban. Since August 1st, there has been a ban. And for 200 protesters who were outside the House of Commons, they had 50 police, 100 more waiting in vans, almost as many police as you had protesters. The protesters had gathered at midday on the green in front of Parliament. They came from several different organizations, including the Committee for Nuclear Disarmament, Action Against the War. But they were all there to demonstrate for their right to protest. The new law is Serious Organized Crime and Police Act 2005. And as I mentioned, 50 officers began arresting any who held banners, and they led them to waiting vans.
And Maya, August 20th, again, this is an Associated Press story. The London police will continue their deadly force policy. London's Metropolitan Police announced Saturday that after the department reviewed the use of deadly force against suspects in the wake of the De Menacis outcry, they will make no changes. Indeed, they confirm that the application of deadly force will be expanded. And what is the rationale? The plot to unleash deadly nerve gas sarin on Britain's House of Commons, hatched last year, has provided the Metropolitan Police with the determination to continue its deadly force policy following the July 22nd killing of John Paul de Menacis. They up the ante. Not only do they bomb the London Underground and create the rationale for this application of the martial law state, but now they're talking about a nerve gas attack on the House of Commons as bogus as the cover story.
This will prove as bogus as the tanker attacks that were the London Times had put out a big story about how around the time of September 11th there were going to be fuel tanker attacks, and then it was revealed actually by people in the U.S. FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, that this entire story, this entire alert that had been sent out, not only about Great Britain but the United States, was based upon, quote, unreliable sources. And here we have again with the gas, the sarin attack, very similar to many of the terror plots based upon what we expect they'll soon come out, or a year or 2 years later, come out with the fact that this is based upon unreliable sources. These are fabrications of the intelligence apparatus. Meanwhile, not only are they banning demonstrations, are they deporting people on the basis that they might, quote, say incendiary things, and they're cutting off free speech on the Internet. An article in the Sunday Times that was very important a few weeks ago. Quote, over the past fortnight, Israeli intelligence agents have noticed something distinctly odd happening on the Internet. One by one, Al-Qaeda's affiliate websites have vanished until only a handful remain, write Uzi Manemi and Alex Pell. Someone has cut the line of communication between the spiritual leaders and their supporters. Since 9/11, the websites have been the main links to disseminate propaganda and information. Now, these are so-called websites of Al-Qaeda because, as Global Security has noted, with when the Washington Post published an article about the poison documents that were all over the Internet, none of these had actual recipes for poisons. They were all bogus. And this could be true of these Internet websites. The Israelis, the article continues, detect the hand of British intelligence torpedoing the websites after the attacks of July 7th. One of them, a Pakistani site, www.mojihedun.com, which had a section entitled How to Strike a European City, this was taken off the Internet. It was terminated. Ralph?
The Great Britain judiciary had been an impediment to these martial law plans. The judges had insisted upon their rights to deter and to review any abrogation of civil liberties. But on August 12th, the Lord Chancellor, Lord Falconer, declared that they would push through legislation instructing justice on how to interpret the Human Rights Act and to prevent any blockage of the government's new tough policies. The legislation will force judges to accept state security and to put aside the rights of individuals. Such a move puts ministers on notice that the British courts are being directed by legislation and by instruction and by Lord Falconer, the Lord Chancellor, for acquiescence and acceptance. What are we looking at here? On July 17th, August Reed Graphic states, London-style attacks on the United States are inevitable. And indeed, what we are looking at indeed is the Wall Street Journal's description on August 15th, Europe is tightening up for martial law. A detailed article in the Wall Street Journal, how in the aftermath of the London bombings, 80% of Italians believe that the terrorists will strike within the month. Rome and London are granting the military the right of control, and indeed, the Washington Post on August 8th, war plans drafted for martial law in America, big shift for the military. That indeed is the underlying gravamen of the state terror operations, the London bombings, and what we will do next week, brothers and sisters, is expand upon what we've disclosed about the military rule in London and demonstrate how it is online for the United States. This is our moment, brothers and sisters, for a fight back of unprecedented proportions.
You've been listening to Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, the London bombings, the Manassas execution, prelude to the death squad state, will be up on the new WBAI archive. Look at www.wbai.org. It will also be on our Taking Aim site, www.takingaim.info. We look forward to being with you next week. And those of you in the Bay Area, come to hear us in person about the London bombings, August 31st, that's a Wednesday, from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Women's Building at 18th between Mission and Valencia.
The London bombings and the martial law state.
Tatan ta chinda karo tatan ta bilon lok me.